Hello, it's Roisin Hasty here. And before we jump into this week's episode, we couldn't kick things off without mentioning that the ARIA's nominations came out last night.
The nominees are.
And the nominees are.
The nominees are.
And the nominees are.
And the nominees are.
With more than 1,000 entries again this year, I'm told the judging was tougher than ever. You can see who made the shortlist on the Radio Academy website. The show itself is being hosted by Radio 2's Rylan Clark on the 3rd of May. There'll also be live performances and a free after party. You can get your tickets now and I'll see you there. Now, back to the podcast, because on this week's episode, we're focusing on a show that's trying to make life better for its audience.
What I wanted to recreate was that feeling you get where you are surrounded by women who you can finally talk about what's going on with your body in the most gross detail.
The audience response has been really supportive, and, you know, there's the text messages, thank you so much for talking about this. It's not just me.
My guests this week are Magic presenter Emma B and Elsa Rochester, who's a producer for Audio Always. Together, they've been working on Magic's Menopause Month, which has been going out on air every day at 2:30 on Emma's show in March.
Menopause Month on Magic.
Hello, it's Emma B from Magic, and this month we want to have an open and frank and fun discussion with you about menopause.
From diagnosis and support right the way through to how it can affect family, relationships and work. We'll speak to experts who are trying to change our menopause experience.
The project, supported by the Audio Content Fund and new research from Bauer, which looked at awareness of menopause and people's knowledge and experience, has loads to get into with this chat. So let's get to it. Could you just explain for me what Magic's Menopause Month is all about?
So Magic's Menopause Month started as a little seed a long time ago, really, probably even as much as 2 years ago, when a handful of us in the office started realising that we were reaching perimenopause. It was something that was beginning to be spoken about out loud more frequently. Then I and one of my other colleagues sort of came into full perimenopause mayhem. And knowing our audience, it became very obvious that it was something that we really needed to talk to with our listeners. I think also because Magic is an all-round station and really does sort of encompass a full family of grandparents right through to younger people, right through to partners and relatives, that it was really important for us to tell the story of the menopause and how it affects everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The idea was to have some very honest and open conversations, but for it to fit, you know, really easily into the Magic sound and what we do here. I mean, it's not very fighty and it's not very shouty. It is very inclusive, but we also try to be quite brave. And that's where Audio Always have been amazing, and Elsa's extensive producer role and knowledge to kind of make what we sort of had in our minds become a reality.
And taking on this project, Elsa, how did you feel approaching something like this?
I think for me, it's part of a wider conversation that's really important to me about women's health. Women's pain is often not believed. If you are a woman of colour or a trans woman or a woman in a bigger body, that gets even harder. The symptoms that GPs learn about are often men's symptoms. So things like heart attacks aren't diagnosed. Medications that are largely female used have much worse symptoms. And the menopause is a part of that wider conversation. And I think I knew to some extent going into it, and I know a lot more now, that we are losing women through menopause. We are losing them from the workplace. We're losing them from relationships. And to be completely blunt, we're losing them from life. You know, women are taking their lives because they're in this horrible psychological and physical pain. And it's not acknowledged. And it just felt really important and really urgent to me to have this conversation.
It seems like the two concepts go hand in hand, because obviously Audio Always are putting things on the radio in podcasts that are reaching people in their homes, people in their workplace, people in their car driving from A to B. And Emma, you're reaching your audience day to day and you know what they're talking about. And you're also bringing your lived experience into the job as well. So why not put something as important as this on a platform like Magic?
Menopause happens to every single one of us. Every woman will at some point go through something loosely described as menopause. And so it shouldn't be put aside in a corner somewhere and be over medicalized. It shouldn't be treated like it only happens to beautiful women in their 30s who come out of the Big Brother house. It happens to all of us, and it's ugly and it's difficult and it's painful, and it needs to be spoken about. Because you know, I never in my wildest dreams would think that I nearly had conversations with my bosses to say I can't handle it. I can't. I would never in my wildest dreams have thought I would be standing at home thinking my kids would be better off without me. I would never have thought those things. And with the help of a handful of hormone patches, I feel normal again. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy that we are in this situation, that so many people drop off the radar, so many women drop off the radar. And I still have friends. There are women in this building that have been to GPs in the last year to ask for HRT, and they've been refused. They've actually been refused, not even advised badly, but being refused. It's really important that it becomes part of PSHE in school. It's really important. It becomes part of those conversations that we have about our biological development as human beings. It doesn't just stop when women have had a baby. You know, mm-hmm. That's it. That's all we need to know about women now. They've had a baby. They've done their bit. There's more to the process. We're still here. We still have purpose. We still have things we can do. It's been a real eye opener as well to how little I think we thought everybody knew.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, what has the audience response been like to this?
The audience response has been really good. I mean, you know, some of the text messages. I mean, we did our own piece of research as well, which was super important. The number of people able to speak to their bosses was like 14% or something ridiculously low. And so the audience response has been really supportive. And, you know, the text messages, thank you so much for talking about this. It's not just me. I thought I was going crazy. I mean, the number of women I know that have gone to ask their GPs for brain scans because they thought they had Alzheimer's, for goodness sake. You know, there's such a power to sharing stories. Mm-hmm. There's such a power to sharing stories.
And also, when like tackling something like this and bringing it as a campaign on air, like I've got a news background, and I'm thinking, like, you know, you mentioned research and stats and stuff, but how do you pull it together so it's more than just a news line and it becomes a story about real people's lives?
I mean, I think kind of words like authentic are can be a bit cliche, but that's exactly what the most important thing was. And for me, what I wanted to recreate was that feeling you get where you are surrounded by women who you can finally talk about what's going on with your body in the most gross detail. And I think growing up as a girl, it can be quite isolating, and you spend a fair bit of time going, oh my God, should that be doing that? And then you, at some point, you'll get a group of friends and you can sit down and you can talk about the most disgusting things that are happening to your body, and you can finally laugh about it. And you can be honest and you can discover that you're not alone. And it was recreating that amazing feeling where you're having incredibly intimate conversations with your friends. And you can finally say those things that don't, you know, make you feel like a kind of... Michelle Ackley described herself as saying, I felt like a monster. She had endometriosis. She went through early menopause because of a treatment, and going home and crying and saying, I feel like a monster because I am sweaty and all these things are happening to my body. And I just wanted to recreate the feeling of just being able to say it, just being able to feel it, and being able to giggle about it and also be really shocked and also look after each other, and all those things should be able to happen at once. And I think we did. I think we managed that.
Empty a room, put Jackie in it. The thing is, you can make things like this a lot fun. When you know what is happening to your body, yes, and the vagina does go dry, like the desert, and then...
That's a good explanation, actually.
You know, to be able to say these things out loud, on Magic, in between Michael Bublé and Pink.
It is. You can kind of get it off your chest and then soothe yourself and Bublé.
But it felt like a step forward that these weren't like late night conversations.
Yes.
And it was like, we're putting this on at 2 p.m.
But that, how wonderful, because for people that don't feel comfortable talking about that, they can hear that as discreetly as they want to. They can be wearing headphones in their ear. No one else can hear it. And for them even to hear that conversation, it might be refreshing, it might be enlightening, and they can take something away from that.
Yeah, completely. And there's such power in being able to speak to other people in the same position. It's so, I honestly can't tell you. It's quite emotional. It's really quite emotional talking to other women, kind of going, you feel like you're going mad. And that is, that's a really terrifying thing as a professional woman, because you kind of just go, well, I can't tell anyone because they'll think I'm crazy. I can't cope. I can't look after my children. I can't, you know, it's like it's the house of cards. If one thing, if you say anything, it just goes, that's it. And, you know.
Yeah, I think conversations, I think our workplace week was really powerful for me. And Louise mentioned talking about as a woman who's reached, you know, like the peak of when she was doing BBC News, she was in Australia, and just the fear of showing any weakness, the fear of giving anyone any reason to say she couldn't be where she was. And I think we all exist with that fear. If we just acknowledge any pain or any weakness, somebody might say, not really up to it though, are you?
You know, I chose to speak out about this because one of the things I was having a problem with, and I'll try and make this a short story, but was we're sitting in a studio. It's kind of warm here, isn't it, right now? We're under the lights, and I was obviously sitting in a studio under the lights, and my main issue was heat. And just, let's be really blunt, you know, getting sweaty armpits in front of this enormous amount of people, which is just like, you know, even the thought of that is mortifying, isn't it? And like to make you more hot. So the reason I'd had to sort of come out, and I talk about, you know, coming out and telling my bosses, was because I needed the temperature in the studio to be much lower than everybody else. You know, I felt so embarrassed to talk about it.
It's really a release to say, no, we can have these conversations and there is help, and you totally deserve to be sat in the seat where you are doing the job that you are.
Mm-hmm. And hopefully conversations like this, as you say, on, you know, primetime radio are going to be progressive, and they'll rub off, you know, in conversations that people are having in everyday life. And someone might, you know, have you had any messages where people have said, having listened to this discussion, I've now felt empowered to go and contact my boss?
Of course, absolutely. And lots of texts about people who have stopped working or reduced their hours or thought about not working again.
And were you conscious as well that you wanted to make it like a resource that people could go to? And if they didn't hear it go out live on air, it still exists in another form. They can listen at any time.
Yeah, I think we really focused on packaging it up in loads of different ways. And we're looking at audio ways that we have. You know, we can do visual podcasts, so we can package it up for social. And I think those short videos, they're only like 1 minute, 32 minutes, but they get so many eyeballs, and that starts a conversation, and that directs to listen to the longer shows.
Yeah, it feels like a very public service programme, doesn't it, that you're making? Do you feel like it's sort of pushed the limit of what Magic is as a brand, as a station, what it can do? Do you feel like you've reached another level here?
Yeah, absolutely. It was. I'm very proud of Magic and the senior leadership team that made it possible, and working with Audio Always and Elsa, who and the guys there, and Paul, who do it. I mean, they do life hacks. I used to do the Sunday surgery. I feel like I'm coming home. Do you know what I mean?
It's just, we're Emma's original fans. OG Emma fans of Audio Always.
So it's like, you know, this is, I've always had that side to my broadcasting. I love being able to do that, and it's lovely, and it's so important. These kind of public service messaging and packages and campaigns sit in amongst people like Magic. It was no point if it sits on Radio 4 the whole time. Like, it's just pointless. But to be able to present those and package them up in a sensitive way to the brand takes a real skill, and takes really a lot of understanding to the audience, and clocks, hours, you know, advertising packages, how that works. And they've done a great job.
I can resurrect my back timing clock. Do that for a bit.
Oh, no, yeah,
add up backwards.
No, I know, but you still get the thrill of hitting 00. Yeah, we did it. Oh, my gosh.
It's interesting that you mentioned your background on the surgery, because it does feel like this format of radio has such a natural home on radio, because there's something safe in almost people not being able to see you when you're talking about these subjects, and it gives you the ability, certainly for case studies, maybe to open up a little bit more, as a, you know, instead of having a camera in their face and they're very conscious that people are seeing them as well. Did you find it was a project that people were quite forthcoming with?
Oh, well, they were very open, weren't they, Emma?
Yeah.
And there was everybody, it was like a conversation that had been sat in their throat waiting to come out. So we didn't have that problem. And I think you're right. I think the intimacy of my radio lecturer used to say radio is an amplifier of sincerity. And you encourage that. And I think you're right. I think people can share more intimate things when it's a microphone, a safe space, a familiar voice like Emma, and it feels like just a friend. And that's the point of radio, isn't it?
Yeah, totally. That brings us nicely on to how we always end this podcast, which is asking our guests to share three pieces of advice that they would have from working in this industry, whether it's from this project that you've worked on that you've learned something, or whether it's in general you want to pass something on. What would your three bits of advice be?
Hang on, I wrote this on my notebook. Can I go get my notebook?
Yeah.
I was thinking about it on the train.
So organised. Well, that's a good start.
Yes, there was too she's many. Got a notebook. That's amazing. That's a great start, yes. Okay, my first bit of advice is you would be surprised how few people ask to do fun things and interesting things. And that is anything from walking into a radio station and asking for some work experience. All it takes is a bit of persistence and tenacity. So if you have an idea, just do it.
And this is a prime example of that. You know, it was a conversation you were having in the office that now has translated to on air.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think this kind of spins off from this, and it's something that I've had to learn in that I am quite a risk-averse person. And you have to learn to be enthusiastic and be open. And when somebody gives you an idea, not to say, well, this could happen. Oh, what about this? Which is definitely my first instinct. And I think if you go into things with enthusiasm and openness, then you'll get a lot further because A, people want to work with you, and B, you kind of trick yourself into being enthusiastic. But be upbeat when somebody suggests something or somebody says, do you want to do a shift here? And you think, oh, God, do I? Yes. Just yes. Absolutely go into it with a smile. I think the other side of that is there is a atmosphere in radio of you should be grateful to be here. And we should, because we're not down the mines, are we? But also, get paid for your time.
Yes, amen. And if you're a woman, stop saying bloody thank you the whole time, okay? You're here for a reason because you're good enough to do it.
Yes. You need one less exclamation mark in your emails. You don't need to say sorry.
I love that.
You don't need to say thank you. And nobody's doing you a favour. You haven't won a prize. You deserve to be there. Get paid. Don't carry it with you. It's only radio. Nobody dies. Go home. Have a nice tea.
Great advice. You're full of it.
Yeah, she is. Annie Mack told Sarah Cox that once, and then Sarah Cox told me that. Because we both had like that, we both, I guess, sort of had a second wind. And Sarah was talking to Annie Mack once going, I'm just so grateful, I'm so grateful. And I was talking to Harriet going, I'm so grateful, I'm so grateful. And Annie just turned around to us both and just went, will you please stop? Like, please stop. Like, you have a job here because you can do the job. You know, no one's doing you a favour. Yeah. So, yes.
I mean, it is...
Preach, sister, preach.
Totally preach. But it is easy to feel that way when you enjoy your job because so many people don't. You think, I really love my job, but that doesn't give you any less of a reason to feel like you're worthy of it.
Of course. Of course not. Of course.
Can I do one more?
Yeah, of course you can. With wisdom like that, please impart it.
So I live in Yorkshire and I come from a local radio background. And I think it's really easy to feel when you are at that point that big stations like 5 Live... they're going to be like hallowed halls full of galaxy brain radio people. And they're not. You deserve to be there as much as they do. Newsrooms are the same the world over. And they've got the same brilliant people. And of course, there are the best of radio in the best of radio stations. But they're often people like you, they're just a commutable distance away. So there's no reason to think that XYZ place, Radio 4, 5 Live, is out of reach.
Aim high.
It's all a newsroom. It's all people. And you can absolutely get there and kick butt.
I've always said that. You, unless you're knocking on the door, it's not going to open. So
And that's it. You'd be surprised how few people knock on the door for whatever reason. And, you know, you can speak to producers everywhere and they'll say, you know who they... Because there are lots of capable people out there now. There are lots of trained producers and lots of trained news hounds and lots of trained young people. But the person who will get the job is the person who's knocking on the door.
What a great project. And it just goes to show that if you follow your gut and you think there's something that should be being told on air, we should push for it because that idea from Emma from Conversations in the Office has turned into something really powerful. Now, next week, we're going to be chatting to the team behind the BBC's Ukraine Cast podcast, which has been covering the war there on a daily basis.
Vitaly Paschenko is in Lutsk, and he was on Ukrainecast a few weeks ago. He's 19 years old. He's studying international law. And Vitaly, it's fair to say that you made a really big impression on our listeners for many reasons, but not least because of your excellent English. So we're grateful to have you back on the podcast. Hello, Vitaly.
Greetings to you all. Happy to be with you.
How are you feeling in terms of some kind of negotiated settlement right now?
Well, I'm seeing all the actions and all the negotiations that are currently taking place in Belarus and in Turkey with a degree of cautious optimism.
You can watch that interview this Friday too. It's one of our online Radio Academy events, which we'll have highlights of in next week's podcast. For more content like that, you can sign up as a Radio Academy member for £3 a month. And as always, you can get in touch if there's a project you'd like us to feature. Email us at podcast@radioacademy.org. Thanks for listening.